At the top here, the ongoing debate over auto insurance reform in Michigan added a new wrinkle last week. Reform advocates like Governor Rick Snyder, the insurance industry, many motorists, and our first guest complain about the state's premiums, currently the eighth highest in the country. They say it's the price Michigan pays for uncapped payouts to victims of catastrophic accidents. Those can go well into the millions of dollars. A bill in the state Senate would cap lifetime payouts at $1 million per claim. Now, defenders of the system insist that before capping benefits, more needs to be known about how key rates are set. That's done by a group called the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association. Every auto owner in Michigan pays the yearly assessment that the MCCA sets. Right now, that's $175 a year. To explain the pro-reform position and what happened last week, we are joined now by Kevin Clinton. Mr. Clinton's director of the Michigan Department of Insurance and Financial Services. He is also a non-voting member of the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association. Welcome to Current State.
Well, thank you very much.
Before we get into last week's FOIA request, that's really the development from last week, let's at the start here try to help our listeners understand more of the larger debate over no-fault reform. On one hand, the governor, some number of Michigan drivers, many in the insurance industry, and you maintain that premiums are too high, largely because of these uncapped settlements that Michigan law allows. As a reform proponent, what would you add to that side of the debate?
Well, I think what is happening with the cost of the auto insurance is really hurting our economic recovery in Michigan. There are people, I think about 20% of the state is uninsured, and primarily because the rates are too high. In the large cities, that 20% could be 40% or even 50%. And how do you maintain a job if you can't drive a car? So I think we have a problem in the state, and I think you stated earlier that we were probably eighth, but because of the uninsured we have, which is primarily in the large, more costly, large cities, our average rate in the state is probably the highest in the nation if you add the uninsured in there that should be buying insurance but don't.
I think Detroit is one example of a place where rates are extraordinarily high. They can go well into the hundreds of dollars per month, correct?
Yes, and they say the average premium in Detroit is approximately $6,000, and I think the average income in Detroit is about $35,000 a year. So people simply can't afford it.
Let's look at the legislation that would cap these benefits. This is House Bill 4612. It would, and correct me if I'm wrong, it would cap future settlements at $1 million. Now, people currently receiving lifetime uncapped benefits would continue to receive them. The Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association, which sets the dollar amount every Michigan auto owner pays to help cover claims over $500,000, the MCCA would be phased out. Now, that body plays a central role in this debate, and you are a non-voting member, pardon me, as head of the Department of Insurance and Financial Services. As simply as you can, Kevin, tell us how the MCCA arrives at that figure, please. It is set to jump, by the way, on July 1st.
Yes, the MCCA will be phased out, the current MCCA, and replaced by MCCA number 2. So it will be replaced, and it will cover, if the cap is at $1 million, it will cover anything over $500,000 up to $1 million. So it is not being eliminated. The current one is getting phased out, which will be replaced by a new one. But in setting the rates, what they have done is, you know, they have experience on auto accidents, I mean, severe auto accidents since 1978. And the MCCA uses their own particular experience to set the rates. So they look at the severity of the catastrophic injuries, they estimate what those costs on those catastrophic injuries are going to be, and they use a pension-type model. They discount this back to present value on investment income. So in other words, if your life expectancy is expected to be another 30 years, they take all the investment income that you're going to earn on the premiums for the next 30 years and bring them back to present value. So people, the revenues for the MCCA are both the premiums that they will collect and the future investment income they will collect, and that has to cover their costs.
Now, the people most severely injured in Michigan auto accidents, along with the Michigan Hospitals Association, these are reform opponents, say that a safety net for severely injured people would be taken away with these changes. Are they wrong? And if so, how?
Well, Michigan is the only state in the nation that has unlimited medical benefits. In fact, the next highest state only has 50,000 mandated as a maximum or as a minimum, and that's New York, $50,000. So our million will still be 20 times higher than the next highest state. So we'll still have the best benefits in the nation. So what happens in other states is they rely on their medical coverage to pay for auto accidents, in which we don't. So 1114, everybody in the state is supposed to be carrying, according to the Affordable Care Act, everyone is supposed to be carrying health insurance. So everyone is supposed to have that health insurance to rely on for auto accidents. So I think we can safely bring that down to a million and have your health insurance and your auto insurance cover an auto accident.
But
in the event, go ahead.
But it still looks to be an instance of cost shifting in some respect. I mean, we're talking about costs of the insurance sector shifting to, at least for covering catastrophic care, moving from insurance companies to Medicaid. I mean, people, I'm presuming here, people would plead poverty if faced with long-term costs that exceed $1 million and go to Medicaid. How is that not a cost shifting of a fashion?
Well, I don't think it's a cost shifting because right now we have 20% of our population uninsured. So any accident that they get in, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a severe accident. That will throw them into Medicaid. So I think it will be a cost savings to Medicaid and not a cost drain to Medicaid.
I'm wondering if you could evaluate this thing politically, if you don't mind. Some Democrats predicted a pretty cool reception to this measure when it was first brought up. Parts of this are also in the courts. Are you generally encouraged, discouraged, or what?
Well, I'm not a political person myself, but I am fascinated by the politics of it. I think the areas of the state that it will help the most, which are a lot of the urban areas that we're pushing for because the costs are so high in the urban areas, a lot of the representatives in those areas are Democratic and they tend to be against this, which surprised me. And then this, in my opinion, the Michigan auto no fault is more like a lot of it is very similar to the Affordable Care Act, which many people call Obamacare. It's mandated insurance, unlimited. And a lot of the Republicans who are very much against Obamacare are for continuing on with our current no-fault system. So I guess the politics do amaze me to some extent.
Defenders of the current uncapped system filed a Freedom of Information Act request recently claiming that before reforms are considered, that rate-setting operations of the MCCA ought to enjoy some sunlight. You, in your role as insurance and financial services director, denied that request. Why?
Because if we were required to deny that under the insurance code. The insurance code has a section 134, which states that the records of an association or facility shall be exempted from disclosure. And they went on to define what they mean by an association. And the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association was specifically cited as one of those entities that is exempted from disclosure. And we even looked at, because I ran it by our general counsel, and one of the questions I asked him is, well, you know, it says they shall be exempted, and does that mean we have our option that we can hand this information over or not? And his reply was that it states that it shall be exempted. And he said, therefore, the exemption is mandated, and we don't have the discretion to disclose those records.
Okay. Kevin Clinton is director of the Michigan Department of Insurance and Financial Services. He is also a non-voting member of the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association. Mr. Clinton, thanks for joining us this morning on Current State. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Let's get another perspective now. Michael Dabbs is president of the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, based in Ann Arbor, and he joins us live in our Current State studio. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Good to be with you.
Michael, what stands out for you among Mr. Clinton's comments?
Well, I think there's a couple of points. First of all, Mr. Clinton mentioned that there's upwards of 20-plus percent, and in perhaps some of the urban areas as much as 50 percent, who are driving uninsured.
Yes.
Well, that's to be sure. If I don't know that either you or I could afford $6,000 in insurance, regardless of the income we were making. I think that, to me, calls into question the whole rate-making setup that insurance uses. Second of all, I think the whole idea, too, that somehow that this reform measure that is being suggested, and as the governor and Mr. Clinton both have stated, the savings are $125. Now, common sense tells you nobody is going to go rushing out to buy insurance in those urban areas because it's $125 cheaper when it's cost $6,000.
Okay.
Well, so I think, that's certainly an issue. I think the this whole issue, too, that he referred to the Affordable Care Act a couple of times. Well, the fact is the state legislature has not embraced the Affordable Care Act. In fact, they have fought it. And in my understanding right now is the state of Michigan come October 1 will be required to use a federal model instead of doing what they should have done, which was to adopt a plan of their own. Additionally, the state legislature hasn't expanded Medicaid. And yet, as you stated, that's where a lot of these folks that are catastrophically injured will end up going on to. So bottom line, the only people who are going to win in this one is going to be the insurance companies, not the people of Michigan.
What did you this FOIA request that you and your allies were behind that was denied by Mr. Clinton last week, I believe, he defended the denial of the FOIA request. What remind our listeners what you were looking for in that
Sure.
FOIA request.
Well, what we've done in the FOIA request is exactly the same that was done in a court proceeding that's currently being heard at the Court of Appeals, or will be here a little bit later this summer. And effectively, it asks for specific data, things like what is the actuarial assumptions that have been used on the return of investments? What is the actuarial assumptions on the cost of care going forward? Because if you don't know those things, you cannot judge whether or not the actual premiums that they're setting to be correct.
He maintained that he was required to deny the FOIA because of language in the state insurance code. Had you heard that before, or what do you make of that?
Personally, I'm not a lawyer, so I really cannot speak to that part of it. And no, I had not heard that before. I certainly saw it in his denial letter. My sense of it, though, is I run a nonprofit association. I've been the head of a nonprofit association for over 30 years. And I can tell you that even in the nonprofit world, one of the most critical requirements is transparency. That's what's missing here. I think Mr. Clinton, not only wearing his hat as the insurance commissioner, but a member of the MCCA board, should be doing everything possible to make sure that this information is transparent. And just to perhaps anticipate what might be said by Mr. Clinton or others, this information is not available to the public in any fashion currently, and that's the reason why we're in court trying to get it and why we've FOIA'd Mr. Clinton.
Michigan doesn't just lead the nation in catastrophic accident payouts. It far exceeds the closest states, as Kevin Clinton pointed out. Mm-hmm. Reformers proposed this reduction to $1 million. They claim New York is second with a mandatory medical coverage of only 50 $1,000. How do you respond to that? This would still be a relatively, if they cut it down to $1 million, they maintain this would be a relatively generous program. Why are you satisfied only with payouts that exceed the national average by such an incredible margin?
Sure. You know, I think the gist of it is this. How do we want to take care of people who are catastrophically injured? In Michigan, we've chosen to say we want the people who are on our roads, who register a car, to help pay for their care, to take care of them for the person's lifetime. And why? Because we've given up our right to sue. And that's the alternative here, is if in all of these other states, they have to sue to get the care they need. Now, let me take that a step further for you. When you file a lawsuit, doesn't mean you're going to get all of the rehabilitation care that you need immediately. For people with brain injuries, you must get care immediately. You must get the first year to 2 years are the most critical time in a person's recovery from a brain injury in particular. Over 60%, nearly 66% of the cases in the MCCA are those of brain injury.
Are there many, many more lawsuits in the other states compared to Michigan?
Well, let's just give you this fact. Michigan ranks 49th out of 50 states in the number of lawsuits.
Okay. So that would seem to underscore your point. What exactly is your message, Michael, for drivers in Detroit who might well be paying $300 a month or more? I think Kevin Clinton quoted even $6,000 is high, is not unheard of. How do you explain this scenario to people who are just fed up with the rates?
You know, we're fed up with it too. And I think it's high time that we empowered Mr. Clinton to have the authority to look at what the rates that are being charged. Interestingly enough, Mr. Clinton and the insurance commissioner's office, not just Mr. Clinton, but his office, is about 40th in the nation in terms of having the power to enforce insurance regulations. I think we give him the power and let him do his job as good as he can.
How big of a setback was the FOIA denial?
It wasn't totally unanticipated, but we were hoping that perhaps he would come forward with it, and I appreciate his efforts in trying to at least clear it with his general counsel, but we'll continue the battle in the courts.
Is it fair to ask what you're inclined to think a FOIA would have revealed had it been approved?
You know, Mark, I really don't know. To be very frank, there is no reason to believe that there's any sort of shenanigans going on here or any sort of ill purposes or anything like that.
Really?
But. But.
Not necessarily.
But let's verify. You know, in order to have trust, you must be able to verify.
We're going to invoke Ronald Reagan here.
Oh, you betcha.
Is that right? It's currently being appealed here, as we mentioned, that this is in the courts. How long do you expect to wait for any kind of decision?
You know, I think the courts are sensitive to this issue, and I believe the Court of Appeals will move fairly quickly. My suspect is that regardless of which side should win that court battle, it'll probably go to the Supreme Court.
Okay, very good. Michael Dabbs is the Executive Director of the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, and we appreciate your joining us here today on Current State.
Thank you.